Good morning, ladies. I'm so just honored and just blessed to be here and just to speak God's word for you guys. So let me just pray and let me pray. Lord, we come before you, God, and we thank you, Father. We are blessed among women, Lord. Blessed to be part of such a beautiful church, God, that teaches your word, Lord, and that just teaches us, God. And I pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fall here, God, that your Holy Spirit would move, and that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts, God. And just be here with us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So I am just, let me see if I can see all you guys. I am just doing Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'm just going to go just through certain verses that I thought were just really amazing and just share with you guys what the Lord showed me while I was preparing. So, and then I am reading from the New King James Version, just so you know. But verse 8:1 says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month." And I love how it says that all the people gathered together as one man in the open square. This shows unity, and unity is something that's so important to us amongst God's people. Unity is something that I believe that we must strive to maintain because the enemy is set on dividing us. Matthew 12:25, Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." And I just, I believe that as sisters in Christ, it is a top priority for us to be united so that we do not stop the work of the Lord. When we let division creep in, we can hinder the work that God wants to accomplish in us and through us. And if we allow that division to come in, it can even just stop the work and we won't be able to help others. I think that these people had learned about unity, and I don't think that they were always as united as they were right here. They had all suffered together. They were captives together, and they lived in a city that offered them no protection from their enemies. And so they could understand how they felt. They had lived the hardest times of their lives together, and they understood each other. And I think that's beautiful because just in our sufferings, like just here as women, that we all suffer, we all go through things, and I feel that that suffering can unite us. So the people here had that in common. And Nehemiah must have been a breath of fresh air for them. I'm sure that he brought them hope that they hadn't had for a long time. When I think of Nehemiah, I think of our Savior. Nehemiah chose to leave a place of royalty where he was sitting right next to the king. He had everything that he wanted and everything that he needed. But God had put it in his heart to go and to restore the wall. And to me, like, I see Jesus, and I see Jesus just like he was sitting next to the Father's side, and he left the Father's side. He left the one, the royal one, and I can't imagine just being there and then just having this great love for each of us. He chose to leave that and come for us, for the love for you and for the love for me. And I just think, like, what a powerful love that is. And just one last thought on unity. While building the wall, each person must have encountered some kind of trouble, considering that none of them were builders. And even in their times of struggles, they were united. They were there to help each other out, just how God wants us to help each other out. And this morning, I cannot know what trouble or struggle that you are going through. You can be going through it at work or at home, or you could be going through the darkest time of your life. And I think that there are other times, and for me, like, I've been here in this place right here, where sometimes everything in my life seems so perfect. Like, my kids are doing good, work is good, everything is good, and I have good friends and an amazing church, but just something within me, and I think something within us sometimes is not okay. And sometimes we could feel so terrible inside, and we can feel lonely or depressed or afraid, and we can just not be sure of what the future holds for us. And I believe, as I was preparing this study, like, I just believe that the Lord wants us to know that we are not alone. We are not alone in this suffering, that you belong to God and He is within you. He has given you this beautiful, 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 beautiful body of women here at Calvary Vista to help you. Next to you are women who want to be there for you. And I feel like sometimes we just get stuck in ourselves and we're ashamed to ask for help. And so I would just encourage you that ask for help, seek help, and that you are not here struggling by yourself. And sometimes we just got to, like, make ourselves get out of ourselves and ask and speak. Just like the Israelites had to get out of their comfort zone when they built their wall, I believe that God wants us to do this building up within you. He can take what has been destroyed in you and build you up again. He wants to use us to help one another and to be available for one another. Another part of this verse that I love is that they gathered together in the open square. They were unashamed. They were hungry to hear from the book of the law. And I wonder how long it had been since they gathered together as one people. When they were in exile, I wonder if this gathering, that was a common tradition for them, was to gather and to hear the priests read the book of the law. And I wonder if when they were in exile, if that was broken, if they had done that when they came back. But I wonder how long it had been since they were comforted by God's word. And I believe that here they were spiritually weak. They call for Ezra to bring the book of the law, and so he does. And it is interesting to note that Ezra had been there for 14 years before Nehemiah even showed up. He had been there proclaiming the word of the Lord to them. In Ezra 7:10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel." Ezra was committed on seeking the law of the Lord. He was committed to obey the law of the Lord, and he's committed to teach the law that was found written in the Word. So it is not surprising that on this day, which was their new year, it's not surprising that the people called for Ezra to bring the book of the law to them. Ezra had been there for many years, and Ezra is someone they look up to and respected. His godly example provided the people a person that they knew would always lead them to God. And I think we know that we always have the Lord with us. And I believe that sometimes in our sufferings and in our trials that we need to see an actual person, a flesh and blood person, someone that could see us and someone that could hear us. And I think that Ezra was this for them. He was someone that they could see and hear. Ezra is such a good example for us too. He is someone that we can model our lives after. When we live lives that honor God, we impact the life of those around us. The lives of our children, the lives of our neighbors, and just our community, our friends. And we always leave some kind of impact. Sometimes, hopefully for us, that impact would be good, but sometimes we could leave a bad impact. In my own life, I have been made fun of and laughed at for following Jesus, and usually from my closest family, from my family members. I've walked trusting the Lord for many years, and I haven't walked perfectly, But one thing that I can say is that I've walked consistently. I've consistently walked with the Lord. And I think that sometimes we think that we have to be perfect in our walk with the Lord, and we never will be. And that's okay. But I feel that consistency with God is very important. I've had several calls from my unbelieving family members. In some of their darkest times, they reach out to me. One family member called me as he was trying to commit suicide. And this person is someone that mocks me still to this day for following the Lord. And thank God that he was not successful in his suicide that night. And all I know is that the Lord indwells every believer with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is evident to a dying world. That day when my brother was trying to take his life, I believe that God brought me into his remembrance, not because I'm funny, because I am funny, but not because I'm funny or not because I'm kind, but I believe that God brought him to my remembrance because he knew that there was something within me that the rest of my family did not have, and that is Christ. I believe he remembered me because I walk with God. He knew that I have Christ in me. He knew that I have a peace about me that can only come from God. He had seen me walk through some of the darkest times of my life, and he has seen me cling to the Lord. And every single one of you in this room that has accepted Christ into your heart has this power within you. I call it the Holy Spirit superpower. And when I'm out there with your kids, I tell them that almost every time that I teach them, I tell them, you guys possess this Holy Spirit power within you. And it doesn't matter if you're kids, God could use you. And for us, it does not matter if we have walked with the Lord for 30 years or 10 years or even for one day, you possess this power. And I just encourage you, ladies, not to be fooled by the enemy to think that you cannot be used or that you are ineffective with this power that is within you. You have this power within you. The power of God is in you. I urge you, ladies, to seek this power that God has something that he wants to do within you, for you personally, and for others. For your children, for your husbands, for your friends, for your coworkers, for those and even for those people in your life that are so difficult, because we all have those people in our lives. And I just want to remind you guys that God loves those people so much, and that God wants to use you to help them. With God's Holy Spirit power within you, you have the power to change people's lives. God has given you the power to live a life that is consecrated to him, a life that is a life of peace and a life of contentment. And no matter what difficulties or hardships that you might encounter, God wants to use you. And no matter how alone or how depressed you might feel, God wants to use you. Even if it feels like everything around you is falling apart and everyone is coming against you, God wants to use you. You matter so much to God, and he has given you this power. And I feel that sometimes we think that we are in a bad situation and that God cannot use us. But God can use us always if we allow him to, if we remember that power that is living within you. And I just feel that is so mind-blowing. I think that sometimes we just forget this power that we have within us. And it should blow our mind away that the living God indwells each of us. You possess the power to overcome anything this life throws at you. And I love the scripture in Ephesians 4:14 that says that we should no longer be tossed and thrown around because of this power that is in us. We should no longer be like that. And I just pray for us that we could be like Ezra. Ezra, who prepared his heart. He looked for God in the word of God. I think that's kind of cool. Like, he was searching God within God's own word. He obeyed what he found in the word. And he taught it to others. And I think that each of us have, when we know the word of God, we could teach it to others. We could teach it to our children. We could speak it to some random person at the grocery store. Like, We can all teach God's word to each other, to speak it to each other. When Israel needed a person, they knew Ezra was their man. Ezra was a person who always turned them to the Lord. May we be those women that others can come to in their darkest times. May we always point people to our Savior by the mode that we live our lives. I think that it's so important, you know, that we live a life that others can see. And maybe necessarily you won't always have to speak, but others can look at you and say, oh, that person is different. There's something different about that person. So after Ezra was called, in verse 3 it says, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They were in the open square. The word was available to anyone that was listening, that was willing to listen. And I think that's for us too. Like, we should be speaking the word wherever we are, because sometimes someone might hear something that you say and it could just pique their interest about God. He read to them for 3 hours a day. And I love that they met at the water gate. I think that's really awesome, because symbolically, water in Scripture is tied to the word of God. In Ephesians 5:25-26, the Scripture says that Christ cleansed the church by the washing with water through the word. In Jeremiah 2:13, God is described as the fountain of living waters, even though in that Scripture, if you look it up, they were not obeying God at that time, which is sad, but he's still described as the fountain of living waters. In John 4:10-15, Jesus likens himself to the living water. And in verse 14, Jesus says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And I think that this is so beautiful, because we come to the Lord just as we are. And if we are all honest with us, well, the Bible tells us there's nothing good in us, but in reality, we're not good. But if we're honest with ourselves, we come to him naked and sometimes ashamed before God. But through the word of God, we are transformed little by little, day by day, year by year. As long as we remain steadfast, like God does this cleansing in us through his word. So I urge us to drink from the water that Jesus offers us. He promises to become in us a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And I just picture a fountain, and if a fountain doesn't have enough pressure, it just does nothing. But our fountain, which is Jesus, he gives us his strength, and we, for the Lord, we are strong because of Jesus in us. He is our water gate where we can find truth, power, and everything we need to live on this side of heaven. He is all that we need. I love how at the end of verse 3, it says that all the people were attentive as Ezra read the word. God's word brings peace and rest to wearied souls. And one of my favorite verses that reminds me of how important the word of God is Psalms 138:2, where God says, For you have magnified your word above all of your name. And I think that sometimes we can become complacent as believers, especially if we've walked with the Lord for a long time. We could put the word aside and just think like, oh, we already know it. We already know it. But in the word of God, we find Christ. We find Christ over and over and over. And he meets us right where we are. And he gives us everything that we need, because each day is different and each situation that we go through is different. And we find Christ again and again. And he is able to transform us little by little into his image. So skipping to verse 6, it says that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered and said, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. As Ezra read the word and blessed the Lord, the people responded. As he read the word of God, the people were inspired to worship God. They were reminded of who their God was. The word reminds us of who God is. He is creator. He is faithful. He is gracious and merciful. He is patient and long-suffering, willing that no one should perish. He is so much more. He's everything, but he's so much more. But I think the greatest thing that he is that he is our savior that bled and gave his life for us, the one that cleanses us and takes away all of our sin. Sorry, I have to swallow. As they remembered who their great God was, they said, "Amen, amen," which means so be it, in response to hearing the word of God that Ezra read. And I think that that's so beautiful. They were just agreeing with what was being read. They lifted their hands and worshiped. They bowed with their faces to the ground. They were undone before the Lord. And I could just picture, as I was preparing this huge wall that was there. They're standing there looking at the wall that brought them safety and security from their enemies. And it was something that must have seemed, that building of the wall must have seemed unimaginable to them. They knew that their God had done this for them. Like the Israelites, when we recognize God's grace upon our lives, we have no other mode but to worship God. We should have no other response but to worship. In Romans 12:1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." To worship God is our reasonable response when we are faced with God's mercy upon us. And God has so much mercy upon us every single day. And we should just be undone by that grace and that mercy that the Lord shows us. And let's see, I love the end of verse 9. It says, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." This is so beautiful. Not only were they reminded of God's greatness, but I think that it brought convictions to their heart. And so they were mourning and weeping. They had the tendency, much like us, to wander from God. They often went their own way, which always got them into bad situations. In their wanderings and in our wanderings, God remains constant. He never turns or wavers from us. His love and mercy surrounds us. He's never far from us. He's patient and kind and waiting for our return. And I love 2 Timothy 2:13 that says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And there are many times when you can feel so faithless and weak, but rest assured in your unfaithfulness, God remains faithful to you. He cannot stop being who he is. He is crazy, and it's crazy how much God loves you and how much he wants to be your God. May we be as humble to the hearing of God's word as the Israelites are here. In verse 10, Ezra tells the people, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I love this verse because they're weeping, and just the end of it, it says, I just see just a celebration here. And they have good reason to celebrate. The wall that was in ruins has now been rebuilt in only 52 days. And I think, I was supposed to look this up, but I think it was in ruins for 94 years. And for it to get done in 52 days, amazing. The people were united with each other and God, and with God to accomplish this impossible feat. They got their strength from the Lord, the joy of the Lord. And this is actually my first time. Like, I've read the scripture so many times, and in studying this, this is actually the first time that I realized that is the joy of the Lord that gives me strength. And I was just contemplating about that, and I just think that, like, sometimes we can see God, we picture God as this grumpy old man that's always mad at us and that we can't come to because there's no joy in him. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think that here God is celebrating with them. And for me as a mom, I know that when my children are doing well, when they're obeying me, and obeying me makes me happy. When I am joyful, I am joyful. And I think that they see me like, oh, mom's happy, you know, and I think that that gives them strength. I think that that gives them strength to keep on doing good. And I think that that is how God is, like, the joy of the Lord gave them strength. They saw the joy of the Lord, and it gave them strength. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it says that the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I absolutely love this, that God, not the grumpy old man, that God sings over us. With his infinite power, he sees you and he sees me, and he sings. So I just love that. He rejoices over you with singing. So do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We see that Israel obeyed God. And in verse 13, it says that they gathered together in order to understand the law. And I think that that's awesome. It's beautiful that they're all together. Like, sometimes we can't always understand the word of God, but if we're together, we could learn from each other and we could teach each other. I love in verse 14 how it says that the law was a command that had been given to Moses. And the law said that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And I always love the law of God, because I often think that we think that the law of God is something bad. It's hard, so we don't want to do it. But the law of God is good. It protects us. It protects us from ourselves. It protects us from enemies, and it just keeps us so close to God. So I feel that it's just awesome that that law comforted them. Verse 15 tells us how they were to go and prepare their booths. And I like looking at this. I've seen this word booths so many times also, and I never actually looked it up. But it says that the booths were huts that were made of wattle twigs or branches. They were temporary structures that could be built in a short time. Booths protected people from robbers, from animals that might prey on them. Booths were temporary, they deteriorated quickly. God had commanded them to dwell in booths during this time. At this time, when Ezra was there with them, it says that it was the seventh month, and it was the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, which was their new year. It was one of Israel's holiest days. After Pentecost, there was a long lapse of time before the next major feast, which was where they are now, Rosh Hashanah. And I think that this can have prophetic symbolism to us in, as the return of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage each of you, like I looked into a little bit of just the different festivals that, the festivals that they had. And it's just really interesting, just the timing and everything that God has and just how they worship God in those feasts. And I will just leave you with this. At the end of verse 17, it says that they observed what God had commanded in his law. And it says that there was a very great gladness. And I can attest for myself that the more and more that I obey the word of the Lord, the more peace that I have, and I can feel God's strength within me. Just by obeying him, just by obeying what God calls me to do, I have the strength, I have this confidence, but it only comes by me reading the word and obeying what he tells me to do. I pray that as we wait for our Lord's return, that we remember that this is not our home. This place is temporary. God has prepared something unimaginable that we cannot comprehend. And I just pray for each of us that we would remain steadfast in him and that we would remember that the joy of the Lord makes us strong. So let me pray and that's it. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have you, Father. We have you, and you are all that we need, Father. And we thank you that this is not our home, Lord, and that you are coming quickly for us, God. And I pray as we are here, God, that your word, that we would love your word more, that we would obey your word, God, and that we would remember, God, that everything that we need is from you, God, and that you joy over us. I love that, Lord, and that we get our strength from you, Father. And just pray for each of us, God, that we would just grow closer to you day by day and that we would remain steadfast in you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.